And welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your facilitator for the show. We are going to have an opening this evening on teaching you how to be your own psychic, to look into past lives, etc. We've had some shows before this, and our guests have all been able to say that you can all learn hypnotherapy, that you can all become dream interpreters, etc. And it's true, but I suddenly realized that part of what we're saying is you need to know how to do this. Well, everybody is born with this gift, as I've said over and over again. And tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to give you some hints, some techniques to use to encourage you to use your own abilities to help make your lives better, to utilize your own power that lies within you, or the source of God within. And there are any number of ways to do this. Any time that you are talking to people and become aware of something that is outside of or expanded in your awareness, something you realize about them where you know what they're thinking, this is part of your psychic ability. And it's not a woo-woo thing that we have here. Psychic means of the soul. I know this is really elementary for many people. But psychic is of the soul. And these psychic abilities are gifts that belong to us, and we bring them with us. We find many references in many cultures, in many religions, to certain gifts that people have. In the Christian religion, it is the gifts of the Spirit that are enumerated in Corinthians 11 and 12. In other cultures, and I'm not that familiar with a whole lot of other cultures, but it's shamanism. And those who are dedicated, in Native American, it's a medicine man. There are diviners in some older stories. There are gurus. There are teachers. There are those people who others tend to look up to, not realizing that everyone brings these abilities with them, some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree. Some have one gift or another. And, you know, each person has their own gift. And quite frankly, even the techniques that I'm going to explain to you tonight, these particular gifts, once you start using these techniques, you're going to make them your own. You're going to have your own particular interpretation or your own particular bending the technique to your way of doing things or expanding on it, however you care to term it. And, you know, I've been a psychic all my life. I just kind of grew up with it and just knew that I was different than other kids. And they kind of make fun of me, but then that's not unusual. Kids make fun of you no matter if you're not, well, no matter how different you are, you're kind of made fun of. You want to be one of the pack. And also, it's a little bit scary for people to be able to know things. Now, let's talk about some of the gifts that you have. There are some that can predict the future. There are some that have mental telepathy, and that is you can read people's minds. You are knowing what people are going to say before they say it, or you see their mouth saying one thing and your mind hears another, or you just know they're not telling the truth. And this is without already finding the facts ahead of time. Mental telepathy is also thinking about someone and the phone ringing, and you pick it up and you know the person is the person you were thinking of, or thinking about somebody and later on that day seeing them in a store, or somehow coming across them. This is pretty much mental telepathy. Predicting the future, I guess, you don't have a problem with. It's just you know what's going to happen before it happens. And that's a positive thing. There are many positive things that happen that you know about beforehand. And it can be some negative things that happen. But you know what? Sometimes knowing what's going to happen beforehand, if you feel it's a negative, you can sort of mitigate it, make it less of a blow or a trauma, shall we say, or prepare yourself, or even by prayer or changing what you were going to say or a road you were going to take, change it so you don't have that negative event happening. Others have dreams. Dreams are a good way of seeing the future, of finding out what's happening, finding things that are lost. There's been some major inventions that have occurred because the inventors dreamed of them. A classic example is the gentleman who set up the benzene ring. He was worrying about it, the chemical composition of it. He went to sleep one night. When he woke up, he immediately drew down the chemical composition of benzene. Thomas Edison was famous for this. He would keep a couch in his office and go into a meditative state and dream and come up with inventions. It's very useful. There are, people who are composers who write music. They dream of a song or a piece of music, and they wake up and they write it. Others did this with poetry. Artists, all of these things are part of the psyche. Then there's the healing part. There are those who are natural healers. There are those who can comfort the sick through words. There are those who are have a wonderful brain with math. Again, they can touch the muse, which is also a psychic gift. And there are so many that I can't even think of. Out-of-body experiences, for one. Near-death experiences where people go into, their bodies become clinically dead, and they meet beings, angels, Christ, whomever, on the other side, and they come back completely changed because they've experienced something, and they usually come back with expanded gifts in one way or another. There are those who travel out of body to learn, and they come back and bring this knowledge with them. So as many people as there are different ways of doing these things, and there are different ways of learning them. I know there's the Monroe Institute in Virginia that teaches how to deal with out-of-body experiences and other things. There's the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, that teaches psychic development a couple of times a year. They have conferences. There's Atlantic University, where they teach dream interpretation and heart connections, and you can get college credits for this, college degrees, and they have degrees you can get. So there are many ways of doing this. And one of the easiest ways of learning is to develop from where you are yourself, here, now, today. You know, think back in your life. When did you just knew something and you went ahead with it? A lot of times when we're growing up, we know things. We're more close to the source, to God, if you will, to inner soul being when we come on this earth plane. And as we go through life, we tend to lose that closeness and to shut off our abilities. And the thing is, these abilities really are there for us to use to bring happiness, to bring love, to bring prosperity, to bring joy, to share our lives, to love ourselves and learn how to love others, and to expand our awareness, expand the world that we're living in, to encompass the greater world. One technique is to sit and learn to be very, very quiet within yourself and to just close your eyes and to listen quietly and see if you feel, if you can quiet your mind and have perhaps a question in your mind. It could be a very simple question about should I make a doctor's appointment for this day or the other? Should I go shopping tomorrow or should I wait? Any simple question you want to, something that's not really a biggie, okay? This way you don't put pressure and stress on yourself. And just sit and go within and kind of ask this question to yourself. Should I do this or should I do that? And see if you get an answer. Now, one technique that you can get, and this is called kinesiology, very simple, and there's a whole spectrum of kinesiology. If you can get to a flat surface or a smooth surface near you, it can be a piece of wood, it can be glass, plastic, it doesn't matter. And just take the pad of one finger and just rub it across the surface, just back and forth, and it should be be, it should feel very smooth, unless you have something sticky on your hands. It should feel very, very, very smooth. It should be easily just run back and forth on this smooth surface. Well, if the answer is yes to your question, should I go shopping tomorrow? And if it goes back and forth real easy, that's a yes. If it sort of gets sticky, sort of, you know, sort of holds back, kind of comes a little bit rough or sticky or whatever you want to term it, under your hand, and so it's not a smooth flow back and forth, that means no. You can simply try it with your finger now if you want to for a day. Say, ask this today, Wednesday, and at least here in the U.S., it is Thursday, so ask Wednesday, and if you run your finger back and forth, and ask if it's Wednesday, you should feel a little stickiness or haltingness. Ask yourself, is it Thursday? And you should go and feel your finger rubbing back and forth and have it very smooth. Now, that's one little test that you can do. See, your body will tell you the truth. Your subconscious already knows this truth, but your conscious mind is just so used to filtering and being critical and judgmental that often the psychic or the expanded awareness doesn't really get through. So that's one little technique that works. You can even do this on your fingernail. If you're someplace that you don't have a flat, smooth surface, you can just take your finger of your index finger and rub it on the nail of your big thumb, and you can use that same test. Is it sticky or does it slide smoothly? Still another way of finding a yes or no answer to a question is to, if you stand straight tall, just put your right hand on top of your head and ask your body to show yourself what is yes. If you fall forward, that's a yes. If you fall backwards or tilt backwards, it's a no. So just try it out. You might have your poles reversed, and yes may be the opposite. So find out by testing yourself whether yours is forward, yes, or back, no. Pretty much, it should be that way. Okay? So, what you do is you stand up straight, you put your hand on top of your head, you can close your eyes or not, doesn't matter, but with your right hand on top of your head, ask a question. Is today Thursday? You should fall forward. You know, or is it going to rain tomorrow? Whatever it's going to be in your neighborhood. And you can write your answers down, folks, and check them against what happens in the future. This way you're going to know how good you are, because not everybody is good on all subjects. Just because you can find an accuracy in one subject pretty much doesn't mean you're going to know all. But as you use this, over time, you're going to find your accuracy rate increasing. And it's going to cover more subjects. As you become more trusting of yourself and the answers that lie within you, you are going to become more aware and expand your ability to help yourself and family. I mean, you can check and see if this doctor is good for you. You can go to a phone book and open up a phone book and check out which doctor is good for you and use this test on to choose a doctor or a dentist. Or a lawyer, or even ask if a job is going to come to you. There are any number of ways you can use this in your life. Again, how you develop is going to pertain to your interest, your desire, and your free choice. Now remember, your free will is in all of this. None of this is bad, and none of this is evil. The gifts that you have, the psychic abilities that one has the responsibility to use them. It's like any thing that you have that you would use. For example, if you walk, if you were to sit down all of a sudden and never walk, you'd have a heck of a time walking again because your muscles wouldn't be used to walking. You know, if you stop and not think and don't use your brain, pretty much you're going to go into rote and be kind of boring, you know, kind of, you know, one dimensional, if you will, and not expand your interests. But the more you use these gifts, just like learning carpentry or plumbing or tinkering with cars or crocheting or cooking or anything, the more you use this, the more will become available for you to use. It's a living, growing ability. And like anything, the more you exercise it and the more you use it, and you use it for the benefit of yourself and your family and your friends and your community, the more aware you are, the greater the gifts you have, and then other gifts often start coming in. You may just be able to use it in some people can use it because they know, say, cars. Doctors use it in intuition and seeing people. They just get to know, when just looking at somebody, they begin to know instinctively what's wrong, and the tests prove their instincts, you see. And yes, there's a lot of book learning there, but a good diagnostician, and not all doctors are good diagnosticians, knows almost instinctively when somebody comes in. Nurses can use this to help their patients. Doctors can use this to say, is this the right medicine to give my patient or not, if he's torn between one or the other. They can test this out using the symptoms, because your soul, that part of you, which is from the source, from God, knows all things. We just forget when we come here. So that's one way of being able to find out how something is going to happen in the future, or to get an answer for you. Another way is to, set up a conversation with your angels. For some of you, that seems far out. Some of you say, well, I already do. That's great. You know, angels are there to help you. I happen to be of the Christian background and Catholic, as a matter of fact. So I've had guardian angels around me all my life, and they have come at very striking moments in my life and have literally saved me from death in some instances. So, you know, ask for guidance from your angels in getting this information. These abilities are to use for good. Some people do tend to use them for selfish purposes or tend to try and use them to harm others. Let me explain something here. We all have these gifts, and they are all to be used for the greater good in constructive, positive ways. Can you use these gifts in a wrong way, that is, that will bring harm to your neighbors or yourself or to another? Yes. But the downside is, the more you use these gifts to harm someone else, the more difficulty and the more negative things are going to start coming in your life. You pay for them, and you pay dearly. It will tell against you. And eventually, these gifts will shut themselves off from use. You're not allowed to use them to such an extent that you could do incredible harm to a great many people. And those that you harmed, there is payback time, no matter what cultural persuasion you are. There's always forgiveness, yes, but there's also payback, and you really don't want to get walking down that path. That's the only caveat I would give you. The only warning I can give you is use them for good. There is dowsing. I've had Raymond Grace on here, wonderful dowser. And by the way, he and I did a project in a workshop I had a month ago, and I'll set aside for this. He did clearing of negative energies at an intersection in Washington, D.C. near my house. That intersection had 1, 2, 5 accidents a week, some of them fatal, but many accidents. I mean, it wasn't surprising to have 2 accidents a day sometimes. On the 26th of February, he did clearing, and we taped this, by the way. It'll be on one of my television shows. We taped this workshop and taped it so that we could come on later on the show and say, we've checked it out. Now, I want you to know that from the 26th of February to this present day, which is March 23rd, no accident has occurred at that intersection. That's darn near a month. That is incredible. I don't know of one full month that an accident has failed to materialize here in Washington at that one intersection. And so I'm just letting you know that dowsing can be used for more than just finding water. There are those who use it for finding minerals and gas and finding lost objects. Raymond Grace expanded it so that we use it to clear out negative entities, ghosts, lost souls, evil, sickness, whatever you want to call it. He uses this, and he uses the pendulum when it swings, and you can get a pendulum and try it yourself. There's some books in the bookstores that you can use, but pendulums are another way of finding out of way of, and you might use this. It's using the energy that already exists in this body to get an answer for an inanimate object. Now, you can make a pendulum from something as simple as a paper clip on the end of a piece of string. You can use a needle on a thread. You can get a pendulum at a store. Anything that hangs down that's heavier from what you're using. Raymond is so cute. He uses 45 caliber bullets and welds a chain to them. He says it's a peaceful way of using a gun. Anyway, so you can use that. You can use a necklace, even a pendant that you have from your neck, or even use a ring that you wear, as long as it's heavy and doesn't matter, but you can tie it to a string or what have you, and you just hold it and see if the energy will cause it to swing back and forth. Usually, you know, and not everybody is the same on this one. So, again, using this energy to be able to tell the future, whether you should do something or not, this is just one other way of tapping into that natural resource that exists within you. Again, the energy comes from your body. It's the energy in your body, the electrical energy in your body, that causes things to sway. And it comes from the source within you that knows the truth of all things. So when you hold a pendulum up, and some of you might have to try for a while because sometimes it doesn't work right away. You can go to one of these, New Age stores or where have you and get these pendulum or one of these mineral stores. At any rate, try it. You could even use a keychain, by the way. I was thinking of that. You could use a key tied to a string or on a key ring and still have it happen. But ask the question. Usually, a yes is a forward and back motion from you and towards you, back and forth, to and fro. And no is side to side, left to right, left to right, whatever. But that's what it is. Now, when you want to work on beneficial energies, the pendulum should swing in a clockwise motion. It goes round and round, just the way a clock would. If it's negative, you should see it going around counterclockwise. And you can ask that energies be cleared from you that are negative. And once you get used to using this pendulum, again, ask questions that you will know the answer to very soon or that you think you already know, and just let this swing. And, you know, some people think that they actually move it. Well, pendulums can begin swinging so hard that your hand, and it moves your hand. And sometimes when you're beginning, you can encourage it to go around and use it yourself to get a feeling of the motion. And after a while, you can just stop, and it will begin to do so. So again, this is something that you might want to do. As I said, there are many ways to access the predictions. Now, some people see visions. Now, also, I want you to know I've tried all these methods, and so I know they work, so there's no question in my mind that if you choose to do this, you can. And later on in the show, if you like, you know, I'll be glad to give a reading to someone, but right now I want to just continue giving you some of this wonderful information so you can utilize it in your own life. This is self-empowerment to the nth degree. So, let's see what else I was going to say. Yes, so there's the pendulum. There's a kinesthetic. Sometimes we see things, all right? And it can be like it's in front of you, or it could be like a flashcard, or it could be like you know, these home show, you know, these shows that they people took pictures of, I can't even fit the word now, slides, that's it, slides. It's like seeing a slide in front of you or a picture. That's how sometimes it comes to you. Sometimes this information can come to you as a voice in your ear. You hear it either outside your ear or more often inside your head, okay? This is a voice that comes to you. That's called clairaudient. Clairvoyant is one who sees things, and you can use a glass of water. You can use a crystal ball. You can use scrapings on a plate. You can use tea leaves. Anything that you use, quite frankly, is considered a tool to get you into a state of mind where you are receptive to something. So you don't just have to have tea leaves. I mean, I've had a wonderful teacher who could come in and sit in a chair and give you something. She read through her behind, in other words. She could tell you the person, all about the person who most recently sat in that chair. What a hoot that is. When we heard that, we just laughed. But she could take a plate of spaghetti or whatever you finished eating, and she could read into that. She simply used it as a way to get into reading the future. And you can do anything. Now, there are others, and this is called kinesthetic. You can use a ring. It doesn't have to be metal. You can use a ring, a piece of wood, a wallet, a pair of glasses, a cloth, or even just somebody writing the name down of another person and folding it and putting it in your hand, and you can feel that information, okay? That's another form of kinesiology, is feeling by reading it, just knowing that energy of that written word on your hand, and you could give a reading about that person, just know what it is. There are times when I read a contract, when I picked it up, and I knew who was ever writing the contract either made a mistake or they were giving me a line of bull, quite frankly. And I knew in picking up some contracts, some bid proposals, whether it was worth my while to bid on the contract or not bid on the contract. And since bidding on contracts can cost a lot of time and money, it sure is wonderful for those who write into contracts and who have to deal a lot in this, that you can use kinesiology and your intent is there when you pick it up and say, is this a contract that we should take or I should let go, or a proposal we should follow through or let go? You have no idea how much time and effort and money I've saved, okay? The thing is, I was going to tell you something else. What was it? It had to do, along with those contract things, and yes, you can use them. You can use them to see which bills should you pay and how much you should pay on a bill if you're strapped for money, okay? You can pick up something and say, should I call this person? Will they be reasonable? That type of thing. This kinesiology, again, is a way of using energy that you already know exists inside of you. You're alive. That's how it works. And this energy is a part of you at all times. Now, some other people, let's see, we've gone kinesiology, we've gone this, that, and the other thing. Okay, there are others who are very good at reading past lives. Now, this is a pretty cool thing to do. Okay, but again, part of that, and I'm going to go into this, is using dreams. Now, in the Bible, we know that there are people who dreamed dreams and were able to warn people, the most famous being Joseph having a dream and the angel warning him in a dream to take Mary and Jesus and to flee from Herod. And there were other dreams in the Old Testament. There's the dream of the ladder, Jacob's ladder. And some other things as well. So, and Joseph's dream when he was taken to help interpret Pharaoh's dreams. But dreams are a wonderful, rich way of contacting the source of your subconscious. There are a number of good dream books. I don't have too many, but I can tell you I can recommend Elsie Secrest's book, Dreams, Your Magic Mirror. You can get it through the ARE. And there is the book by Mary Summerrain on dreams. And I recommend that highly. She's a wonderful authoress and a wonderful person to read. But I really like both Edgar Cayce's, the work that Edgar Cayce has done on dream interpretation to his readings, and Mary Summerrain and her book. I think they're wonderful. But your dreams can tell you the future. And one of the ways of interpreting dreams is to begin setting them down. Now, it's suggested that, you know, you get a steno book or a legal pad and pen and start writing your dreams down. If you wake up or have a particular dream, write it down and try to make sense. And over a period of time, you're going to find yourself able to recall more and more of your dreams. It's been said that nothing of importance in your life happens to you but that you do dream about it first. Your dreams are a rich source of going over what you've done during the day and to help find things in your life or answer questions that you have. I know when I was getting sick, I dreamed that I was lying on a hospital bed and a hand came down that had a white syringe. And I opened my mouth, and it put milk into my stomach. And at the time, doctors were recommending drinking milk if you had an ulcer. So I knew when I woke up that I'd better see a doctor, and I was right. I did have the beginnings of an ulcer. So that dream warned me about a physical condition. I lost my car keys one time. I couldn't find them for love or money. And I went to bed. And I dreamed that they were lost and sitting in the driver's seat between the back and the seat of the driver's seat. Well, I had looked there before, but according to my dream, they were there. So I went in, and I pushed my hands even further back, and there they were. I found my car keys. So you can dream and find lost objects. There are people who dream that someone has died and come to see them. And they find out later, and they may wake up or not at a certain time, and they may find that someone did indeed die at that time. They find that later. So dreams are a very, very important tool, and one would be well worth using to learn about the secret life that lives within you. We also often leave our bodies at night in dreams. I mean, there are times when you feel like you get up in the morning and you feel, geez, like you've been working all night. Well, you know what? It's very possible that indeed you have been working all night because you may have been learning elsewhere. We do leave our bodies for the purposes of learning and to visit other people. And it's amazing what your dreams can tell you. And sometimes they are, as Charles Dickens said, just a bit of undigested potato. But that's a little bit different. Some of the other things that I think you might want to look into, besides dreams, interpretation of dreams do have them worked about. My feeling is that you should consider looking at, let's see, what else is a wonderful thing to do? Looking into past lives. I think one of the best things, looking into past lives, if you want to for yourself, one is dreams. If you dream about something and it's harking to another era, very often that is a very strong clue that that is a past life you have had. If you have gone someplace and you get this feeling of deja vu, as they say again, of having been there before, that is a very strong indication that indeed you have been there before. It may have been through a lifetime there before, or it's possible that you went there in an out-of-body experience in a dream time. It's up to you to do the creative interpretation of what you did. Okay? That is very important. Now, one of my favorite ways, and this does take time, I have to give you fair warning this, on seeing another lifetime, is to sit in a semi-dark room. It can be done during the day. It doesn't matter when exactly, but it can be done during the day. And have the shades drawn, curtains drawn, so it's really in darkness. Sit in front of a mirror. And if you can sit at a dresser or something like that, and have, and I only say it's a white candle for no other reason than that light is reflected much more by white than any other color. So having a white candle, usually to your left, don't know why, but that's what was recommended, and the lights off, and just sit, and you look into the mirror, trying not to blink too much, and look into your own eyes. Simply gaze into your own eyes. You will find it very, very difficult at first. At least I did. I mean, some others of you may take to it like a duck to water. I found it kind of difficult. But you just sit in the darkened room and you gaze into your eyes. And you may find that you blink and your eyes begin to water. And it may take you 5 or 6 or 7 tries, a couple weeks, who knows. Try to make it consistent, same time every day. But what will happen first is, when you first start going in, you will begin to see that the mirror becomes cloudy, like fog moving in. Gets very misty. Okay? That's when you know you're finally beginning to penetrate the veil. The next thing that happens, and you might want to have a question in your mind. My first question was, and I'm throwing it out for you who might want to do this, what was the former life that I had that most impacted my life today? What former life that I have gone through has the most influence on who I am and what I'm going through right now? That worked for me. You see this cloud, this fog, this mist, and all of a sudden you will not see your reflection. The last things you will see will be your eyes disappearing. There is nothing but gray mist in the mirror. No reflection of anything around you. Just continue holding that gaze. Then the mist will begin to clear. And what you will see now, for me, I don't know if this is for everyone. I can only give you my experience. But what first happens is that you see a skull. And from that skull begins to come muscle and tissue. It's just like watching a face being built, like these reconstruction artists. If you've ever seen those shows where they show a reconstruction, they take a skull and they start putting on the clay to shape the face. Well, that's what it's like. Only this time you're seeing muscle and vessels and so forth. And then all of a sudden you're aware of the skin coming and eyes and then the hair. And then there's clothing. And you will be seeing yourself in the lifetime, if you've asked the question I did, before this, that has the greatest impact or influence on your lifetime at this time, your current life. For me, it was that of a life of a Tibetan monk. And I think the shock is I had a bountiful, long, brown, curly hair, and I was as bald as an egg. And that was a real shock. But I could ask questions in my mind or out loud, you can. And I asked about how long ago was this? Well, the answer I got back was about 500 years ago. And as you ask these questions, you get to know more and more about that life. Where did you live? You know, what era was it? What were your skills? What was your background? There are many things that you can ask, and you can ask to see scenes from that lifetime, and they will show up in the mirror. Now, you can say, oh, well, maybe you're hallucinating, okay, or you've hypnotized yourself, or you've just, you know, gone into another bizarre thing. Well, my oldest daughter, who's now almost 40, snuck into the room while I was doing this experiment one day. And I didn't, and snuck is the word, because I didn't see her or hear her until all of a sudden I heard a startled noise. And she hid behind a chair and watched what I was doing because children are curious. And she said, "Mommy, you're a man and you lost all your hair." So she saw in the mirror a Tibetan monk, or at least a bald man, looking back where before she had seen my face. So I know, since she hadn't a clue to what I was doing, I know it can be seen by others. So you might even want to experiment with others and see if you can see each other's lives in that. I didn't have the opportunity, or rather, I didn't even think about it, to try and do that. But it can work. So that's another thing you can try. Now, you can also go into other lifetimes and ask, well, was I ever this or that, or can show me another lifetime, or where do I get the ability to sing, or the ability to paint, or I have the ability to help cure animals, or whatever your skills or interests are, and that life will come, and it will come more rapidly. As you do this, it can be to the point where when you come and sit down, the mirror will just fog right away, and it'll just speed up so that you don't have to take a whole lot of time. My suggestion is, when you first start, don't do it for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You shouldn't have to do it more than 15 minutes to begin with. And don't go further than that, and just come back and try another day. If it doesn't happen for a little while, you know, have patience. Again, it's like anything else. If you're not used to doing it, usually it takes a while, and then there are those of us who are coming in with gifts already honed from prior usage, so we make it a lot easier for ourselves when we bring it this time. So that's the past lives, and I'm thinking of, is there anything else that I can think of as sharing with you? Musical gifts, art gifts that we have, are gifts that we have brought with us from former lifetimes. We have maybe been a teacher in a particular art or subject matter, and this time we come back gifted in that area. That explains the musical prodigies we have, or gifted dancers, artists, even people in computers that we've all had this sometime or another in another lifetime. And these gifts, if we use them over a period of several lifetimes, when we come into another lifetime, we are often considered a prodigy or enormously talented. What we don't bring with us is the memory of the years of hard work that we put into defining and refining these lovely gifts. I know in my high school, I had some dear friends, and I would dearly love to be able to sit down at a piano, listen to a piece of music, and just replicate it with no problem. And they could do that. I'd have to sit down and practice until everybody, and myself included, got sick and tired of hearing the tune before I could play it. But in singing, all I had to do was sit and listen to the song and then sing it 3 times, and I would have the words and the melody down flat. And if I were to the teacher wanted me to sing different parts, I'd only have to sing other parts 1 or 2 times and to sing harmony. So with singing, it was and still is very easy for me to memorize songs and singing. But with the violin, I had to play it over and over again to memorize it. So I'm thinking another lifetime, singing was a really wonderful gift that I had. Violin was not such a hot gift. I really had to work at it. And piano, I've had to do that too. Now, in ballet, you know, if somebody comes back and really gifted in dancing, they've probably danced before. I can look at folk dances, and almost immediately I can imitate folk dances from a number of different cultures. That's not a problem. To do ballet as a ballerina, what work, what sweat I had to put into it to remember the steps. So that tells me that I've had a lifetime when I was probably a peasant and had lots of dancing, and that was one of the things we did. And I must have had a lifetime singing and having a lot of fun, because that's what I did. And since I can do it easily, I'm assuming that these are the gifts that I've brought with me. So, you know, all of us have these gifts that we bring with us. And when we use these gifts in other lifetimes, we bring them with us. Not only our talents, as we call them. There are some people who have beautiful hands. They were probably healers in another lifetime. There are those of us who appreciate the heck out of art, as I do. But I couldn't draw my way out of a paper bag with both ends open. So, you know, I can only, you know, pay for art and just admire people who can do this. And that some people are so gifted. And it is wonderful that they should use these gifts to bring joy into their lives. Because when you paint or you sing or you do anything else, you not only open up the gifts, the abilities of your own soul, and as you use these gifts, you realize you open up your soul to accept more gifts. And the more beauty you have in your life, the more beauty you share. And it just keeps on growing and growing. It's the one thing you don't grow out of and you don't run out of. It's like love. Love can only expand. You never reach the end of love. There's never not enough to go around, because the more you give, the more you have to give. These are some of the great and wonderful gifts that we can give each other. Part of why I'm here is to bring you some of this information and share it with you in order to help you find your own way to life. There are many who have the gifts and they're afraid to use it, or they're punished for it, or they remember something terrible. When they use the gifts, they get afraid. Some of us come into our lifetimes because and are afraid to use these gifts, or we squelch them, or we feel there's something wrong with it because we were punished. There are a number of people I know who have recalled lifetimes where they were stoned to death, drowned, or burned at the stake because they used these gifts in other lifetimes and were called witches, or magicians, or just abused the heck out of because they use these gifts. Superstition and ignorance, unfortunately, still reigns around us. But as we grow in our own awareness, we realize that whatever we have, since we are created in the image of the Creator, they're natural and they're God-given and they're a part of God, or we wouldn't have them. You know, when we come, we bring us tremendous capabilities and we only realize just a small, small part of what we can be and do and live on this earth plane. And so I would invite all of you to participate in expanding your life. And some people feel, well, I can predict for other people. And this is the other thing I've had. You sell yourself a bill of goods. You know, you get into a habit and you sell yourself something that gives you a narrow perspective or a kind of a rigid view of things. And you really shouldn't. To hear the gifts, oh, you can heal people, but you shouldn't be paid for it. Well, why not? Now, I don't mean, you know, take people to the cleaners, but if you hear somebody singing or playing a piece of music or a doctor who studied or something else, wouldn't you pay to buy that piece of art? Wouldn't you pay to listen to the concert? Don't you pay the doctor so that he has a family to eat? If you have a gift of healing, it's okay to charge for that. You can negotiate. You can barter, if you will. But you should be remunerated. Now, one of the things that I was taught, these gifts, and many people who are gifted and we become friends, we give readings for each other. We do healings for each other. Someone uses Jinshin Jitsu on me, which is a healing art, and I might give them a hypnotherapy session, or I might give them a reading. And if you share back and forth, this is a good thing. What you don't want to do is get caught into giving away things that are gifts that you have, whether it be a reading or a healing or a therapy session or what have you, and get nothing in return. Because what this does is it puts a hook, as we call it, a tentacle that goes out to the other person, and they're now obligated to you. When you send out energy, there's got to be a reciprocity in some way or form of energy back. Otherwise, you make people beholden to you. And then you get into the play of taking on people's stuff, which you don't want to do. Now, another way of becoming your own psychic or becoming more gifted psychically is by virtue of getting into a healing art like Reiki, Jinshin Jitsu, massage, herbs, what are some of the toning, hypnotherapy, all of these alternative therapies, all of these healing arts are another doorway that is used to allow, shamanism of course, allow you to expand your psychic abilities. Because once you open the door in one field, almost inevitably there is another gift that comes to you over time that is yours. And it can come in tremendous bursts with trumpets and everything else, but usually, you know, it's kind of really soft and gentle. One day it's not there, one day it's there. And you say, oh my gosh. You know, it's an aha moment. Again, as you do for others, as you give of yourself in love and service, and I don't mean free service, but in love and service to others, you begin to expand and receive the gifts of the spirit, which are the psychic abilities, as we call them. These gifts are yours. And you get them. It's like money in the bank. You know, as you grow and do good, you are going to get more back. And as you give more of yourself in expanding this and with your family, your friends, and your neighbors, the more you're going to receive back. And the more you're going to bring like people to you. Having positive thoughts. Asking your angels for guidance. You know, seeking others of like mind, you know, learning and reaching and stretching. These are the things that really, in the long run, truly make life worthwhile. I don't think that I could possibly go back to a life that did not use all these gifts that I have been given this time. And by refusing to use them when I was younger or ignoring them, I went through a lot of hard times in my life that, quite frankly, had I trusted myself more, had I listened to myself, to my own...
30 seconds, Phyllis.
I would have been glad to have used these. At any rate, I hope that you have learned something this evening and that some of you will take this knowledge and use it and grow. We're going to come back next week with another guest as yet unknown. But I thank you so much for listening to The Higher Dimensions. You can reach me on an email at psychicworlds4@AOL.com, or you can contact the radio station here, bbsradio.com, and they will forward your email to me. I'm so glad that you were able to listen in this evening. We're so delighted to have had you. I hope that we'll be able to talk to you another time, and do call in. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have or provide some free readings of the future if you like. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Phyllis Pricer for Higher Dimensions. Have a beautiful evening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.